It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Federal Trade Commission is reminding online marketplaces of their duty to root out fake merchandise with new federal protections aimed to make it easier for people to report suspicious marketplace activity. We discuss the latest online marketplace scams and get tips for navigating platforms that connect sellers and buyers. Call with your question or comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jim Temer is here, CEO of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Always a pleasure, Kate. Great to be here.
Well, tell us about how common Facebook Marketplace scams pop up here among Wisconsin users.
We figure that at least 25% of ads on something like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist are tied to scams. They're prevalent. They're everywhere. You have to be so careful. And I'm not saying don't use these platforms, but you just have to really make sure that you know what you're doing.
25%, that is quite high to me. That seems like you will eventually, if you use these types of platforms, you're going to encounter a scam.
Yeah, if you don't know who the person is or who you're dealing with, you will eventually encounter a scam. Also, a lot of the Facebook ads can lead you to other things. So you click on an ad for something that looks good, and maybe there's a link in there to something else. It's just insidious. Actually, these are just the latest bits of technology that scammers use. When we first started with email, we were all getting emails from the, you know, deposed king of somewhere or another that they needed to move $3 million to the United States and we could make money. Now they're just telling you, oh, this is fine. You know, give us your phone number. Let's leave this site and I'll just text you and give me the money. So as long as we're around, we're going to have to deal with scams.
Let's leave this site and I'll just text you. I want to just seize on those words that you said there. What about moving conversations when you're buying and selling? What about moving them out of Facebook or the platform that you're on?
That's one of the tricks that scammers use most, not only for this kind of thing, but also romance scams. If you're on a platform and you're trying to meet people, because those platforms are all monitored by, you know, ethical businesses, because they try and get the scammers out. They try and delete it. They look for things they can use AI and pick out bits of conversations going on and then highlight that. And if they want you immediately to leave the site, that's a red flag. And stay on that. And if they do, you know, look somewhere else. Don't follow them off the site, or you kind of do it your own peril.
What are the most common ones, the most common scams happening throughout the state now?
Well, there's a few new ones, and we will kind of focus here on Facebook Marketplace.
Yes.
You list an item, and you get a response from a buyer. Wow, they really want this. This is fantastic. But how do they know that you're not a scammer? So they're going to say, hey, can you reply with a six-digit code where you're on the platform where the item's listed, like Facebook? And that sounds reasonable. But what the scammer's doing is setting up a Google Voice number linked to your phone number. So you send them this verification code and then they can complete the account setup. They can then use your phone number to conceal their identity when they call somebody else. Or if they get your Google Voice verification code and some other info about you, they can pretend to be you and then open new accounts in your name.
So basically, if they're asking for a confirmation code that they're going to text to you on your phone, that is a phishing attempt, what I'm hearing, that, you know, phishing for your private data.
Right, right. It's just another way to get your data, get your personal information. Don't give your phone number out to somebody making a sale online marketplace. You don't need to. That's not part of the system there. That's not part of the setup. So any additional information you're giving somebody, again, unfortunately, you're putting yourself at risk.
What are some things you should watch out for? Characteristics in the listing of a fraudulent listing? What stands out to you?
Well, always, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. If you find something, big ticket items as well, people will buy online. And there's one going on where someone will be selling, say, a car or a boat or an RV, a big ticket item. And you contact them, it looks great. And then they say, hey, you know what? We're out of the country, we're in the military or we're somewhere else. but will use a legitimate third party to hold the money in escrow. And they'll say it's eBay or Amazon or whoever it is, you know, and they tell you, oh, you know, don't worry, you'll have a chance to see and test drive this vehicle before you have to purchase it. And they'll say it's a local vehicle, but we need the money first. So you send the money into this fake eBay or fake Amazon account. They may want it prepaid debit card. And that is a huge red flag. If anybody is ever saying that, you know, your check, or if it's commercially, your credit card isn't any good, you have to use wire transfers or prepaid credit cards, prepaid gift cards, prepaid debit cards. Those are big red flags. So here, the third-party services are a con job. There never was a car. They just took pictures of something on another website and put it on their site, and you're going to be out your money. So again, you have to be very careful. Don't buy something like that. Don't send money unless you can meet the seller, especially if they're claiming it's a local vehicle. If you meet the seller and then purchase it, that's going to help you avoid almost all scams on Facebook. And it's for housing rentals, all sorts of things, because a lot of ads up to rent apartments or vacation rentals are fake as well.
This certainly applies to so many areas. CEO of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau, Jim Temmer, with us as we talk about Facebook Marketplace scams in particular. You can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234. Jim, as we talk about transactions, people may use an online payment system to buy items through Facebook Marketplace, like PayPal or Venmo or Zelle. How well do online payment systems protect sensitive information?
They can do it very well. And you mentioned several of the good ones out there. But again, scammers realize that we now place trust in those third parties like Venmo or Zelle, Cash App, any of those. And this is another new scam. And this is based off an old scam called an overpayment scam. And they used to do it with checks. But now they're doing this. You list an item on Facebook, and again, you're quickly contacted by a buyer who really wants it. They may even say they're going to pay more than you offered, but they're going to use one of these payment systems, again, like Venmo, and I'll just use that one as an example. And after receiving the payment, you're going to get an email, supposedly from Venmo or whoever, saying that because this was so much money, you need to set up a special business account. And you need to upgrade your account to business status to accept a transfer. So the buyer says, well, I'll send you another $300. You know, that's fine, because that's what it's going to cost to set up this account if you promise to refund it, you know, after we're done. So you set up the account, you pay your money out there, and you never get any money back. It's all fake. They may take screenshots of things saying that the money is in the Venmo or Zelle, and it isn't. And people used to do this with checks. They'd say, oh, you're selling a bed for $100. I'll send you $300 because I'm moving, but can you send me $100 back and you can keep the extra $100? The check they send you is fake. And then you put that in your bank. You can immediately access the funds, but it doesn't really clear a bank account for maybe 14 days. And then you're going to hear back from the bank that you passed a bad check and you're out whatever you paid. This gets into employment scams and all sorts of scams. And this is another red flag. If anyone is willing to overpay you, unless it's a rare item, red flag, don't do it. Just tell them to forget it. Don't answer the texts. You know, if they call you, tell them, forget it. Be very, very careful if anybody is saying they're going to give you extra money for nothing.
Let's go back to the basics for a moment. What about meeting in person to receive a purchase, and when that transaction takes place? Give us some tips about making that transaction in a public setting.
Well, you just said the key words, Kate, public setting. When you're meeting somebody face-to-face on something like this, you know, scams fall to the wayside if we risk our personal health and safety. So you never want to meet, obviously, you know, in a dark parking lot in the middle of nowhere sometime, you know, meet at a coffee shop, or if you have to go to their house to pick something up, take somebody with you. Make sure that you're not alone, because unfortunately there have been incidences where people will use Facebook Marketplace, again, just as an example, to have people, victims, come to their house and they're robbed or they're beat or assaulted, who knows what. Not very often, but it does happen. So again, why not just protect yourself, meet in a public place. If it's something small, you can transact business that way. If you got to pick something up at someone's house, definitely take someone along with you.
Jim Temmer, CEO of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau, as we discuss the classified ad section of Facebook and tips for consumer safety on e-commerce platforms that connect sellers and buyers. Call in with your question. You can share tips on making these transactions. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get tips on how to buy and sell items safely on e-commerce platforms and what to look out for when communicating with sellers on these online marketplaces like Facebook Marketplace. Jim Temmer with us, CEO of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau, fielding your questions and comments. Call 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ashley in Dodgeville is here. Hi, Ashley. Go ahead.
I just wanted to leave a quick comment.
Oh, Ashley, it's really hard to hear you. It sounds really windy or something. Try again.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, not too well, but try. Go ahead.
One more time.
There we go. Yes.
I just wanted to comment real quick. I don't do Facebook Marketplace at all. And my neighbor came up to me the other day. He's like, you guys rent your house? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, people have been walking up knocking on your door. He told me he talked to one of them, and there's an ad out for my address to rent, like on Facebook Marketplace that isn't me or my boyfriend. And we literally had to make a sign on a piece of paper. I just used a big marker, and I just wrote, no, this house is not for rent. Like, you know, do not send the seller any money, consider your sources. But I just thought it was ridiculous. Wow. I don't even use those platforms.
Ashley, thank you so much. You know, Jim, Ashley there, her home going up for rent right underneath her and doesn't even use these platforms. What is going on with the scam?
No, well, that's a common scam. Scammers will take photos from other websites, or maybe they'll take photos off of realtors' websites if some house or condo is for sale, and they'll put them up on these for rent by owner sites. They'll do it on vacation sites if you're renting a condo somewhere on vacation, and they aren't there. It's just like Ashley just said in Dodgeville. You know, there's not an ounce of truth to what they're doing, but they'll have enough information that you think it may be true. And they're looking for that person that will prepay, you know, I need first month, last month, security deposit, whatever. And that's it. And if maybe the people that come by and look, maybe that's 1 out of 100. And if 1 out of 1,000 pay the scammer or 1 out of 10,000 pay the scammer, they're making money because what they did cost them nothing. So the uses of technology to unfortunately scam people out of their money or their information. I mean, you telling people that your house is on the market to rent, is sort of a violation, right? I'm sure mm-hmm. Ashley doesn't feel too good about having these people come up and saying how much to rent your place.
I want to turn now to the regulatory environment and what efforts that businesses have to make to stop these kinds of actions. The Federal Trade Commission, there is a new federal law called the Informed Consumers Act, took effect at the end of last month, and the law requires online marketplaces to protect consumers from counterfeit, unsafe, and stolen goods. How does the law affect Wisconsinites?
Well, Wisconsinites and all people in the nation are going to be able to shop online with a little more safety. What this means is that the marketplaces, the platforms such as Etsy and eBay and Amazon, what they need to do is verify identity of their sellers that are on their platform, because remember, like, you know, Etsy doesn't sell anything. They let other people on their site to sell. Mm-hmm. What they must do is collect tax numbers, government issued IDs, bank account info. They need to implement more protocols to identify and remove counterfeit products and provide information to consumers about the products they purchase. Also, information about the identity of the seller, their name, business address, contact information must be made readily available to consumers. Now, on something like Amazon, where it's supposedly businesses, that's going to be a lot easier to do than it is on something like Facebook Marketplace when it's, you know, Joe from down the block, or he claims that's Joe down the block selling something. And again, how prevalent these online scams are, Amazon is proud of the fact that in 2020, there were 6 million attempts to create fake accounts that they caught. And then they downed that to 2.5 million attempts in 21 and 800,000 attempts in 2022. So those are the only ones that they caught. So we're talking about millions and millions of fake listings, fake contacts, all over, trying to get you to buy something that doesn't even exist.
Why is transparency around the business name and the business's physical address so important for consumers?
Well, because usually if it's a scammer, they aren't going to come up with a physical address. Something, mm-hmm. if you are even on just a fake website, because those are out there too, you always want to look for things like return policies, customer service phone numbers. Is there somebody you can call? Address. Take that address of a business and put it into Google Maps. Is it what they say that it is? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And is it the name of the business that they claim it is? And if you get emails or texts saying, you know, this is Amazon, there's a problem with your account. We've all seen those, right? All that stuff can be faked and forged so easily. You should never respond to something that you are not asking for in the way that they want you to. So if you get a text or email saying, hey, this is the power company, you know, we're going to shut your power off because you haven't paid us, or click here, don't click there. Go back to a bill or look them up and call their consumer hotline, call mm-hmm. their actual account information. Because if you click on that link in the email, you could be downloading malware, or who knows where they're going to take you. So again, anything that comes in from the outside, just think of it as a robocall. Delete it. Delete the email. Delete the text. Don't answer the phone. If you're going out, if you're making outbound calls or emails, then yeah, someone's going to get back to you. But be very leery of any information that you didn't ask for.
Jim Temmer with us, heads up the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau, giving us tips on these online marketplaces and how to safely do these transactions. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Tom in La Crescent, Minnesota is here. Tom, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Twice this has happened when I responded to something on Craigslist, and they were both free items. And then like that later that day or the following day, I got a text, and it was from UPS, and they were trying to make a delivery, and they had a UPS symbol on it, but they were trying to make a delivery, and they wanted me to confirm my address. And I didn't do it because I didn't have anything coming from UPS, one. And two, it's kind of obvious that somebody was up to something. But it happened twice in a couple-week period. So that's something that's also common, because now they obviously had my phone number, and now mm-hmm. they want my address information. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yes, Tom, thank you for sharing. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, you should really be careful. Tom, great work, by the way. Scammers out there will buy and sell information, and they'll get bits of it here, bits of it there. Like you said, they got your phone number. They're looking for your address. They're trying to put these profiles together on people so they can then do things in your name and not their own. Shipping scams too. You know, we just went through Prime Days. Be very careful. You're going to get those things. Track your shipping number. We had a problem. What time are you going to be home? You know, and if you tell somebody what time you're going to be home, you're also telling them what time you're not going to be home. We need an extra $2.50 for whatever it is. You know, your package was overweight. and you put it in your credit card in the site, and then they have your credit card. So as much as there are these front-end scams and you're buying something that doesn't exist, there's just as many back-end scams that have to do with shipping, because everybody shops online these days. So just like Tom said, know what's expected to come, know who's shipping it, and you'll be a lot better off.
Jim, thank you for joining us.
You know, as always, it's my pleasure. And we do what we can here at the BBB to increase trust. And we tell you who not to shop with, and we can tell you who you can trust. So we're all better off at the end.
Jim Temer, CEO of the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with more on a piece of art called The Land of the Freed Up Woman.
The 1970s were the height of the second wave of feminism, when women in the U.S. were advocating for equal rights and opportunities to men. As Molly Honkin tells us, it was during this time that one woman expressed her feminist views by creating art made out of a unique medium, bras.
Artist Marge Engelman has spent much of her life in Wisconsin. The walls of her Madison apartment reflect that time, as they're covered with countless pieces of art.
This is Twinkle, Twinkle, the Little Star. The Big Bear. Anyway, I'll show you around.
Despite Engelman's own works of art that currently adorn her apartment's walls, she says she wasn't always an artist.
When I was in grade school, a teacher had implied that I did not have artistic ability, so I took that seriously.
Engelman says she never visited art galleries until she was 38, and she definitely didn't make her own art. That changed when she discovered that the University of Wisconsin Extension offered courses in contemporary art.
I found out there was a program in the School of Home Economics, and it was called Related Art. So I registered. I was about 48 years old, so I was a different kind of student.
Through this program, Engelman got her master's degree in art after 2 years. She taught introductory art courses for a few years and was then appointed as the director of outreach at UW Green Bay. Engelman says around this time, change was taking root.
The feminist movement came along, and I became a flaming feminist because I felt quite a bit of discrimination growing up and also working, because women weren't valued as much as men.
Engelman says she was inspired by this moment. It led her to start a child care center on UW Green Bay's campus for students and faculty. Plus, she was still creating art, including a historical piece she created in 1971 that was inspired by the bra-burning feminists.
But then it was about that time that I got the idea for the bra banner. And I called it the Land of the Freed Up Woman.
The banner looks like the American flag, but features stripes made out of red velveteen and 20 white padded bras. It also alters the stars in the corner of the flag by replacing them with foam modeled after birth control pills.
The pill, a contraceptive pill, had just come out, and so I decided I could visualize that in the field of blue.
She created the flag in response to her experiences with discrimination. During her time in administration at UW Green Bay, Engelman says she was the only woman on staff.
There were things that were said to me and opportunities I didn't have because I was a woman. And I thought people should start thinking about that.
At the age of 96, Engelman is still creating art out of her Wisconsin home.
I have made a sewing center here in the bathroom. So I put my So English here.
Some of her art now relates to more tame themes like nursery rhymes.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
But like the bra flag, she continues to create pieces that are politically motivated.
Molly Hunkin brought us that story on Marge Engelman's bra flag. The art itself is part of the Wisconsin 101 Project, which tells our state's history through objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Maureen McCollum.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Maps are an essential planning tool for our summer road trips, and our state's official highway map is available in a folded, printed version that is still in demand despite the ease of turn-by-turn navigation. Call in with a question about maps, past or present, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Christine Keller is former cartographic specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, now airport GIS program manager in the agency's Bureau of Aeronautics. Christine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Great to be here.
Good morning. And we also have David Layton, who is Section Chief of Surveying and Mapping at the State Department of Transportation's Bureau of Technical Services. David, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. David, let's start with you. Your agency, the Transportation Department, printing 650,000 copies of the 2023 official state highway map. Why is a foldable paper map still necessary?
Well, you know, I think there's we'd have to ask our customers that, but it's still in very high demand. We've moved over 200,000 copies just in the last 2 months that it's been available. And I think it's a combination of things. It's, you know, it doesn't need batteries. It doesn't need a cell signal. And it's a great planning and tourism promotional device.
No batteries, no cell signal. You know, I wonder, what do people like about the old-fashioned, if I may say, paper maps over screen navigation?
Well, you know, you can see the whole state. It's a little easier to see where things are in relation, the plan out your route, and, you know, it's paper, it's tangible.
Christine, the state has printed Wisconsin highway maps since 1918, and you recently helped complete this online searchable database of all the previous maps. How are people using the map database?
We kind of set out to put this database together to make it more accessible to the public, and the feedback that we've gotten has been very positive. People are excited to look at the maps and pick out features, through time that they're familiar with. Maybe they want to know when a road was added or where it had been routed prior to where it currently exists on the landscape. Or, just looking at the rich history that's presented on the highway map. It really is a time capsule of our road networks and highway development and expansion over time in the state of Wisconsin.
I saw the video of you so carefully unfolding the first official state highway map. What are the conditions of these maps?
Well, I mean, as a map ages, it's obviously going to become more fragile.
Brittle.
And one mm-hmm. of Right. And one of the reasons that we wanted to I wanted to get the maps stored better, it's best to store them flat in large flat file drawers. So we very carefully unfolded the ones that we were able to and, you know, had them stored correctly at our facilities. But I would say it depends on the paper mm-hmm. that was used mm-hmm. at that time and how it was stored. If it was stored folded, it's going to be more difficult to unfold and handle. Whereas when it's stored flat, it's much easier to maintain its integrity. David, humidity is also a factor.
Oh, I would imagine humidity can make a big difference. David, what is what do you appreciate about this new searchable database?
Well, I think, you know, we just wanted to make it accessible to the public. You know, we've got this big collection, and it doesn't do any good sitting in a file cabinet somewhere. So just making it available and allowing the public to have access to it.
Do you have an overall favorite Wisconsin highway map through the years, through the century?
I do not.
Christine, do you play favorites?
I do. I do like some of the maps from the 1930s. In the 1930s, that's when we start to get a full creative backside. So prior to that, the map was really a one-sided product. But as soon as that creative side comes into the picture, there's several years in the 1930s where we have a pictorial history of Wisconsin. It's really a map of it, you know, in itself that's shown on the backside. And it's a wonderful artistic piece. And that's probably one of my favorites from the earlier maps.
Let's bring on a call. Patrick in Madison is here. Patrick, hi. What would you like to bring up about folded maps?
Yeah, about folded maps. I was a guide for a long time in northern Wisconsin, up north of Route 8, so the Rhinelander area. And I was wondering, like, what kind of changes are we seeing, especially with people utilizing these maps in areas where you can't get cell signal as easily, especially in those northern regions?
Patrick, thank you. David, go ahead.
Well, I just point out that our demand remains high. So, I know as a child, I remember always wanting to get the latest edition of the map and be in the backseat navigator for my parents. And, I think it still remains a very valid yet today.
Christine, do the maps change much from year to year, or did you notice subtle differences? You mentioned, you know, the change in the 1930s to have a backside of the map, but what about the map itself?
It has changed a lot over the years. In the early years, I think it was more functional, where it was really focused on road highways and the road network. And then other modes of transportation start to become prevalent. So airports are now shown, railroad systems, and our ferries and harbors. So really all modes of transportation are now advertised. And the points of interest have changed over time too. What people, you know, maybe were interested in when the map first came out has evolved over time. And so as space allows, we can add features like state parks, historic sites, and some of the other great features that are shown. And other things have changed as well. The design has gone through several evolutions. In 2023, I'd say some of the major updates were U.S. population. We've got the 2020 census data on there. So it's always evolving and always improving.
Let's go to Lisa in Milwaukee. Lisa, hi.
Hi. Hey, I have two questions, or one comment, I should say, and one question. I was just wondering, I was talking to some teens the other day. One of them, he knows how to read a map. The other four did not know how to read a map. I don't even know if they touched a map. And I was just wondering, do they teach how to use a map in schools anymore? And then I was going to say for a comment, maybe you guys should use Dora the Explorer for advertising maps.
Dora the Explorer. Lisa, thank you so much. David, you first.
Well, my wife used to be a fourth grade teacher, and I know they do still teach map reading in classrooms. So
that might be still safe there. Can you give some tips on map reading and how to do it well?
Well, you know, I think just being able to orient yourself with north, pay attention to the legend. It tells you what features are what, and connect point A to point B.
And go from point A to point B. David Layton with us, Section Chief of Surveying and Mapping at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Christine Keller as well, former cartographer in the department. Call in with your question, your comments on maps. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Paper-folded, official Wisconsin highway maps have guided travelers for over a century. The State Transportation Department is distributing hundreds of thousands of copies of the new one. Call in with questions, a comment about mapping Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have David Layton, who is Section Chief of Surveying and Mapping at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and Christine Keller, former cartographer in the department. Let's bring in Vic now in Stanley. Vic, hi.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to give a comment to David and the cartographer. I travel around the country on business. I'm on Route 29 headed towards Wausau today, and I picked up your map at the rest areas. Wisconsin distinguishes itself with the availability of the paper travel map, and it's true. You use these things. It gives you context of where you are. And I was driving through Clark County yesterday on some of the back roads, and it helped to be able to see perspective of where I was versus just the general area.
Wow. Vic, thank you so much. Ringing endorsement there, David, traveling those back roads in Clark County and really having an understanding of where you are.
Yeah, great. Glad to hear. It's always great to hear from our customers.
Christine, I'm wondering, you know, the first map was 10 cents. These maps are free. And as Vic said, you can pick them up at rest areas, and it's really helpful. When did the map start being free? Can you tell from the maps through time?
Sure. So one of the things that I did when I was putting the collection together is I kind of took note of some of the more interesting facts and details. And you can read about that in an article that's available on wisconsindot.gov. The maps were originally sold for 10 cents a copy. There was also a booklet in the 20s that was sold for 25 cents a copy. And it's not until about the 1930s that we start to see the map have a, you know, printed for free distribution disclaimer that's on it. And I sort of attribute that to the map evolving into more of a promotional tourism marketing product and really highlighting some of the great not only tourism opportunities in the state of Wisconsin for in-state travelers and out-of-state travelers, but also highlighting industry in the state of Wisconsin and some of the other things that travelers would expect to see as they come to the state.
Another question coming through here. John from Bangor is asking, is it true that every map maker purposely makes a mistake on their map for copyright reasons? David, insights there?
Well, Christine was our map maker on this edition, but from my recollection, our map is not copyrighted. So maybe that's something with private maps, but I don't think that's something that we aim for with our public state highway map.
Christine?
That is something that I think private companies would do. And, you know, if that map were to get scanned and reproduced, it would be easier for that company to prove that the map had been copied. But as David suggested, we don't copyright this product. I will say, though, that I do have my own, I was able to make some design choices on the 2023 edition. For example, in the legend under cities and villages, we had to update some of the examples for the different population ranges, and I was able to hand select those. And I selected them based on a couple things. One is I wanted representation from the entire state of Wisconsin. So if you plotted all of those example communities throughout the state, you'd see that every region is represented. But then I also picked cities or communities that were special to me. Like, for example, my family settled in Marshfield. I also thought it was fun to highlight that Green Bay has grown to a population of over 100,000. So yeah, I did get an opportunity to kind of put, you know, me into that version for 2023. Mm-hmm.
Christine Keller, mapping specialist, along with David Layton with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. You can join in 800-642-1234. Christine, what about the catchphrases, the slogans on these official highway maps? And they promote Wisconsin, of course. What are some of your favorites?
One of my favorites is the first one that appears on the 1918 edition, which refers to the state of Wisconsin as the playground of the Middle West. And that slogan appeared until the 1940s, and then it made a comeback in the 60s and 70s for several editions in each of those decades as well. And I'd never heard that before. So that's probably my favorite.
We don't really talk about the Middle West now in our terminology, so you can see how times change there. What is the current one?
This year's slogan is, here's to every route being the scenic route, and it kind of plays on the 2019-2020 edition's slogan as well, which also had a scenic route theme.
So are you route or root?
Yeah, right? I think I could go either way, Kate. But.
So David, as we wrap up here, you know, how huge of an undertaking is 50 layers of information in updating the map?
Actually, I really have to defer to Christine on that one. She was the whiz behind it all.
Is it difficult to put so many layers, Christine?
It's absolutely a very large undertaking and requires a lot of attention to detail. Hmm. We get data from multiple data sources. We work with the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Health Services, Department of Corrections, and bringing all of that data together is a challenge. Hmm. I think going systematically layer by layer, county by county, is a good approach.
Christine Keller, cartographer and airport GIS program manager in the Transportation Department's Bureau of Aeronautics. David Layton, section chief of surveying and mapping at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's Bureau of Technical Services. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show, and you're mapping on the Ideas Network.